Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylv on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Brand new way to listen and watch the show. Also watch Waddle dance to some of our music. Check out Twitch, as it's at twitch.tv/ESPN1000. And you can sign up for the app and make sure you follow us there on ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by Reps Place in Rolling Meadows and Miller Lite. Let's talk some Bears right now. Joining us on the Corona Hotline is the man, the myth, the legend, someone we haven't talked to in a long, long time, someone who finally got to see some football today.
Yeah, football.
At Hallis Hall. He is Jeff Dickerson.
Jenny, you are the bomb. We really like all your nuggets and your special stuff.
What's going on, JD?
Gentlemen, it's great to talk to both of you.
It's better to talk to you.
Listen, it was a little bit of a return to normalcy today. Sort of. I mean, it still is weird not being in Bourbonnais. I cannot remember the last time in mid-August that I was home this much, which is weird. But it was good to get out there, and I thought practice looked like a standard training camp practice. You know, the first padded day, guys, by NFL rule, they could only go 90 minutes. And now they can ramp it up a little bit each day after, as far as the padded workouts go. But I thought today you saw everything you're used to seeing as far as the individual drills, the team drills, the 7-on-7, the inside run drill. There was some contact. I mean, you're not supposed to be taking guys to the ground, but there were a few plays where a guy went to the ground. There were a few, pile-ups kind of. No fights or anything, but it was a pretty high-energy workout, and the reason that Matt Nagy has to do that is because there's only so much time that these guys have here. I mean, you really can't have wasted moments in practice. And I thought at one point today, it was funny, I am next to Potsy, Mark Potash, and you know how when you go watch training camp, if a ball is ever on the ground, the defense, no matter what, is supposed to scoop it up and run back? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You guys have seen that?
Ball!
And then even if it's an incomplete pass, the guy picks it up and runs. Well, that didn't happen today. And I'm almost wondering if they just don't have time for that type of stuff. Like, you just can't waste valuable seconds because your time is so limited. And all of this time will be so limited going into training camp and then going into the regular season. So it looked like football. It sounded like football, even though we were all wearing masks and socially distant and had no access to the players or coaches as far as being, you know, face-to-face with them or anything. It was like a typical training camp practice, I thought.
Okay, JD, this is the $64 million question. What did day one of the quarterback competition look like?
So Trubisky was, as Nagy told you he would be back when they traded for Nick Foles, Trubisky was the first quarterback in the huddle. I thought they fairly split reps kind of evenly. I mean, Foles was throwing to, you know, guys that are going to be ones, just like Trubisky. With these practices, I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to hang on every throw, because I just don't think over the course of a training camp, guys are going to miss throws. Tom, you know, I mean, they just sometimes the guy runs the wrong route, or a defensive guy makes a great read, or just something happens that the average person watching doesn't understand what's going on, and the quarterback looks bad when it might not be his fault. I'll say this about the quarterbacks today, because, again, we are still – limited a little bit in what we can reveal. I thought both quarterbacks missed some throws. Trubisky almost had a pretty bad pick over the middle into like triple coverage, but he also came back and had some nice completions. Same thing with Nick Foles. What I'm curious to see with Trubisky in particular, guys, going forward is, okay, so he tweaked some mechanical things in the offseason. How is that going to manifest itself onto the field during these practice sessions? To me, his throwing motion looked a little shorter. It wasn't quite as long as it's been in the past, but again, I'm not a quarterback guru. I can't tell you.
And here's the other issue on top of that, JD, is how do those mechanics stand up when the heat is bearing
right
down on him?
I mean, look, if an NFL quarterback can't complete passes on air, there's a big problem.
Right.
And most of it today, a lot of it today, I mean, there was definitely some team stuff. There were some one-on-one drills between the defensive backs and the wide receivers. They did the team stuff later. So certainly there were defenders there. But early in practice, all you see is them throwing on air where there's no defender out there. If you can't complete those passes, now you're treading in Mike Glennon territory. No one wants to be there. No. It wasn't like that. So we asked Nagy about those guys today. He thought they both were pretty sharp. I did notice that they broke the huddle nicely. There didn't seem to be many busted plays. The only time I remember any sort of hiccup pre-snap was one of the slot receivers was slow to motion. It might have been Anthony Miller. I'm trying to remember here. I think Foles was the quarterback, and he's like, hey, let's go. But that was the only one that I saw. And I think that's good. That's progress for both of these guys, that they're getting the plays in, and they're getting to the huddle, and they're getting the snap off, and they know where they're supposed to go. So there's going to be a lot of time to break down these quarterbacks and analyze their play. I would say day one, it does seem like everyone's operating on equal footing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like no distinguishable differences. How do you handicap this, JD? I mean, do you feel that if Trubisky is equal, that it's his job? Do you think that Trubisky really has to show above Foles to keep the job? How do you handicap it?
Why wouldn't Trubisky have to play way better than Foles to keep the job? That's my question I have. Why he needs to earn this job back? Because when you go out and you trade for Nick Foles and you pay him decent money and you give up a fourth round pick and you bring someone like that in who certainly has had some bad moments in his career, but he's also been a bleeping Super Bowl MVP, I think the pressure should be on Trubisky to elevate his game, you know? I mean, come on. Like, if it's even, do you just go with Mitch because he's been here before? I don't know if they're going to do that.
Who's had the better career?
Who's had the better career? Oh, Nick Foles.
Well, then that, to me, would be the guy that, in knowing he knows the offense, I would just say that would factor into me with regard to who has less pressure on him.
That's
so I'm agreeing
how
with
I
you.
Feel. See, yeah. I think the way I look at it, and people disagree. There will be people that say there's not enough time for Nick Foles to win this job. Okay, that's fair. I mean, certainly there are going to be no preseason games, and training camp is totally different this year, and he didn't have the benefit of the offseason program. He doesn't know these guys. Mitch was throwing some guys on the side before the NFL said stop doing it. So, I mean, Mitch has got that familiarity with these receivers, but I just feel like, look, they know the type of level that Nick Foles is at. It's not exceptional, but it's pretty decent. I mean, he's been pretty decent. He got off to a great start last year in Jacksonville that first game, then he got hurt. And then when he came back, he was chasing it. It wasn't the same. But in Philadelphia, they believed in him. They knew he could do the job when he had to come in and play. Played well in Philly, early in Philly that first year. St. Louis did not go well, was buried in Kansas City. But I feel like they know the level that he, regardless of any sort of preseason games, they can go into a game day time in the regular season, Sylvie, and say, okay, we think that we know exactly what Nick Foles can get us. Here's the level that we feel like he can play at. Can Trubisky do better than that? And I think that's on Mitch to raise the bar. not just be status quo, not just be just good enough. He needs to really raise the bar to keep that job. And I just feel like, again, it's not like Foles walks in here not knowing anybody. He knows all these guys. All these coaches are Nick Foles fans. So if Trubisky isn't feeling the pressure, and I think he is, he should be. He should be.
I agree.
Yeah, that, you know, and that's what I say to people, JD, is, you know, everyone's like, why are you down on Trubisky? It's not just that they traded for Foles, but they gave up the fourth-round pick, and the future plans of picking up the fifth year, they denied. So they changed their whole plan on Mitch, the second overall pick, in a matter of 1 year. That, to me, is exactly what you're saying, is why he needs to go above and beyond to show that even though we have changed our plans, we gave up a fourth because we didn't believe in you, we didn't give you your fifth year because we didn't believe in you, that's why you have to reassure us that the belief is back.
I agree. I mean, again, I'm not saying that Foles doesn't have an obligation to play well. He does, but the writing is on the wall. If they're happy with Trubisky, they don't get Foles. If they're happy with Trubisky, they don't just exercise his fifth-year option, Sylvie. What do they do? What does this regime do? They would have extended him in a heartbeat. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You think these guys want this not to work?
Right.
You think they look better if this doesn't work? You think they look good having to go out and get Nick Foles? No. But the reality is they got to win. They got to have a quarterback in there that the head coach trusts, and they got to win the games, and they got to get back in the playoffs. This is a good defense. There's a lot of money floating around this team. There's a lot of big deals on this group, with this group. Look at the contracts here.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack's making just a boatload of cash. Eddie Jackson just got paid. They just re-signed Trevathan. Roquan Smith's the eighth overall pick. Akeem Hicks got paid. You know, Allen Robinson's coming off a good contract and might get an extension here. We'll see. That offensive line has been paid. Leno got paid. Massey's been paid. Whitehair got paid. Guys, it's time to win. And you can't have the play you got from the quarterback last year. It just wasn't acceptable when you extrapolate it over a 16-game season. I think they know it.
Here comes a double-barrel question at
Uh-oh.
You. Number one, one barrel, Jimmy Graham, what'd you see? Second barrel, anybody else out there impress you more than others?
By the way, you know, our Zoom calls, we get no follow-ups. So some of the guys have been working in the triple barrel questions
That's
during
smart.
The Zoom calls.
Yeah.
Sun Times has really been loading up on the double and triple barrel questions. Not sure if that's proper etiquette on these Zooms.
Potsy doesn't care about etiquette. Potsy's there to do a job.
Potsy is the best bowler of the group.
Yep.
And he is the Bears historian. He's the active Bears historian. Don Pearson and Dan Pompey are the Bears historians. But Potsy is the man on the beat. So did anyone stick out?
How about Jimmy Graham first?
Oh, I was going to go, hey, I can answer what barrel I want to answer
know
first, can I?
You're gonna, first, you're going to double barrel it, then you're going to tell him how
I
to answer
it? I didn't know
it.
If he remembered what I said. I
remember the questions here. Come on.
We're all getting older, JD.
I
just trying to help
questions.
Out.
I go on my tangents here about the Zoom calls, and I'm coming
I love
right
it.
Back.
I love the behind the scenes.
You know, it's hard. It's difficult in this setting to say, oh, this guy looks great. Here's what I saw, though. All right. I mean, I think this is a good way to shoehorn this in, to take away a future barrel here for the questions. Let's talk about quickly, before we get to Jimmy Graham, some of these competitions, right? Like, what's going on at cornerback opposite Kyle Fuller? Saw a lot of Artie Burns today. Saw a little bit of Tolliver. Didn't see much of the rookie. Rookie wasn't out there a whole lot. Johnson. Matt Nagy says that Johnson's going to get more reps as we go along here. And again, that's a second-round pick. That's a guy that needs to be in that starting lineup.
Shoulder still an issue?
I think just being a rookie and just being behind. It's not easy for the first-year guys. They did not mention any medical reasons why he wasn't. I'm not saying he wasn't, like, participating on occasion. It's just when you're looking to see, okay, who's with the top team here? Who are the top reserves? I'm just saying we're seeing a lot of Artie Burns, a lot of Tolliver. Jermaine Ifedi, I think, has a very good chance there at right guard. You know, Juan Castillo likes those big guys up front. That's what Ifedi is. I think that's probably a good look there, a good match there. You know, Gibson at safety. DeAnn Bush has a chance. No doubt. But, I mean, you follow the money, and look what they gave Gibson as far as the guaranteed cash. And I think that's a good bet there. So just going through some of those things, those are what I saw as far as what stood out to me today was some of these guys that are jockeying for some of these jobs. As for Jimmy Graham, he caught the ball today. You know, the whole tight end group. He's not going to block. I mean, it's not what he does. He caught the ball, you know. The whole tight end group, though, is different. Look, there's going to be three guys that are going to play a lot. It's going to be Cole Kmet. It's going to be Jimmy Graham. It's going to be Demetrius Harris. Demetrius Harris is going to play. He's more of that, you know, traditional second bigger blocking tight end. I think Kmet is someone you could line up in various spots. I think he could be more like an H-back for them sometimes. So I bet there'll be some packages where all three of them are on the field. Now, I think that's a big difference between last year. Jimmy Graham might not be the Jimmy Graham that people hope he is. But if you want to look at what they have as far as positional flexibility with that group, it's a big upgrade over the Shaheens and all the guys they had running through last year. So I thought the tight ends in general stood out to me, because I think there's going to be a real urgency from Nagy to try to utilize that group from 1 to 3 as much as possible this year.
All right, JD, anything else that you need to bring us?
You're asking for another barrel.
Yeah, come on.
I know it's about things that stood out, but maybe there was I love the behind-the-scenes stuff,
it's
by the way.
First practice. Come on, there got to be nugs for days.
He got nugs, dude. I mean,
don't make him show you all of his nugs in day one. He's going to hide a few nugs.
So let's talk about a little bit about what they're doing up there. I mean, how it looks. I mean, you know, they're practicing on the new field. I took a glimpse inside the Walter Payton Center. Every player has their own desk in there for meetings, and it's spaced out. So that's, I think, was really kind of cool. We have to get there about 40 minutes before the players arrive. So they escort us in, to the practice field. We sit there for 40 minutes, and then the players start walking over from the facility. So everything is staggered. We have to leave before practice is over, so we don't cross paths with anybody.
You're allowed to make eye contact with guys now, or is that illegal as well?
No, totally. And our like viewing area is great. Like, we're right on the sideline. We have, I mean, as far as, like, watching practice goes, compared to the last couple of years in Bourbon Hay, when they had those tents, you know, on the hill and to the side, the Wrigley Field, like, restricted viewing tents with the pole in front of us, it was great. It was good. It was good to see everybody. They take your temperature when you walk in. You know, the group I'm in Tier 3. There were only two people that were marked for Tier 2. And there are Pro Football Writers Association representatives. So we thought that was a good idea to let those guys have Tier 2. Only difference is if the Bears were to practice indoors, I would not be able to go inside the Walter Payton Center, because I'm not getting the COVID test every day like those guys are. So
How often do you get tested?
We don't get tested.
You don't get tested at all.
They take our temperature. We have to wear masks, of course.
I'm hoping that because you're in Tier 3 doesn't mean you get your temperature taken in the uncomfortable fashion.
No, it is not.
Okay,
that.
I'm just making sure.
It is the touchless thermometer,
excellent.
My friend.
Thank you.
I had to explain that to Parker one day. I'm like, dude, you know how we used to have to take our temperature back in the day when I was going to the pediatrician? Don't give me any nonsense about me putting the thing on your forehead and rubbing it around for a couple seconds there, champ.
What did he say when you told him about the old days?
He didn't believe me. He goes, what? He goes, what? I go, yeah. He goes, is that legal? I go, yeah. I go, well, I mean, it was legal back then. Now, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a great point.
Oh, boy.
All right, JD. Great barrels. Great nugs. Great info. We appreciate it. And we'll talk later
in
the week.
JD.
Yeah, you got the quarterbacks talk tomorrow, guys. Just so
all
you know.
All right.
After practice, so it'll be a busy day, and then we'll talk to you guys then.
There you go. There's JD.
Thanks, JD.
Let's expand on that. 312-332-3776. Someone took me to task for my Bears quarterback hate. Yes. I want to read you the tweet. I invited him to call. I don't know if he did, but anyone, we always invite you to call at 312-332-3776.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a great Monday and your weekend was awesome. So much to get to. This is one of those days and weeks where all five of our teams are in focus locally. And don't forget, you start your morning a little bit early locally than you used to. Our first ever morning show, it's Cap and Jay Hood. Every morning at 7 a.m., great job to those guys. Everyone on the show as well, Danny Zetterman, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss. It's right after.
Great start to a new era.
Yes, absolutely. So tune in 7 a.m. and get your local morning started. You could watch as well on Twitch. So I got this tweet. I get these every now and then, Waddle, where people, you know, think that I'm like doing a bit or like I'm rooting for an opinion. Jermaine tweeted me, and I told Jermaine to call the show because I don't like arguing on Twitter anymore. I just think
it takes too much time.
Too much time. There's not enough nuance. I like talking to people. Some people think that I'm getting snarky when I'm not.
You're not a fan of bots? You don't want to fight with the bots?
Do you think they're really bots sometimes?
Waddle's looking at me like he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Bots.
No, what I'm looking at you is I don't want to fight with a bot. I don't want to fight with a guy or a gal. I don't want to fight with
bots.
A human or a bot.
When their name is Tom 677-764-32724,
yeah,
it's probably a bot.
I've engaged significantly less over the course of time. Now, there will come a time every now and again where I've just had enough or I'm having a bad day. And I will respond. But for the most part, I think we both have. We've moved on.
Right. You send a GIF every now and then just to kind of.
Yeah.
But I like debating sports. But this is where this always has bothered me. Jermaine Moore tweets, and he says, a lot of Bears fans silently rooting for Mitch Trubisky while people in the media like Waddle and Sylvie still hating. You guys, in parentheses, the media, love negative press on Bears starting quarterbacks. When Foles starts sucking behind the league's worst offensive line, y'all will run him out of town, too.
I'm not running anybody out of town. What I see on camera scares the crap out of me. And with better quarterback play, this team would be consistently a challenge for opponents in the postseason. Like, I don't care if it's Mitch Trubisky, it's Jim McMahon that comes back, it's Nick Foles, it's the other guy, Tyler Bray. Just give me somebody that can elevate this offense to the middle of the pack. That's all I've asked for.
Yes.
Finish 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and you got a chance to make some noise in the postseason because your defense is so damn good. I'm not cheering for anyone to fail.
Don't make this a bad fan conversation. Jesus. This is a bad quarterback conversation. You know, we deserve better in this city. And believe me, I wasn't a Mitch guy when they drafted him. It doesn't matter then once he's drafted. I want Mitch Trubisky to be awesome. Like, there's nothing more that I would want than Mitch Trubisky to throw 35 touchdowns this year and have Cap yell, take that, take that, even though he's not, doesn't even realize why he's yelling take that or why he's even a Mitch guy to begin with. I want the Bears starting quarterback to be good.
Yeah.
I don't pick favorites. I'm tired of having guys underachieve. I'm tired of picking the wrong guy. I'm tired of signing the wrong free agent. Yeah. I'm tired of not having a superstar at the position. I don't care if his name is Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky. I want a guy who takes the snap from the center to be the damn best quarterback.
Bravo, sir.
Sound like a bunch of haters.
Bravo.
Like, we're haters.
Hater.
Shame on us for us to critique the 32nd rated quarterback situation in the league. Yeah,
I mean, the story has been around now for 3 years. And, oh, by the way, it was a misevaluation by the general manager because there were two other guys that were taken immediately after him. And by immediately, I mean in the first round, that have excelled. One is all worldly and the other one is all earthly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You could come up with something better.
Well,
than that
I was caught between a rock and a hard spot.
It was all right.
Like, the one guy is like, he's the master of the entire football universe.
So they were comparing him again with Jordan on Get Up.
Right.
Which one?
Michael.
No. Which quarterback?
Brian.
Larry Jordan.
Yeah. No, which brother? Because you guys, Mahomes, have heard the Deshaun Watson comparisons before too,
right? That's what Dabo said.
Yeah, right.
Is that anyone who passes on him will be doing what you asked me? Which one? I thought you were talking about which Jordan. I thought you were playing a Jordan joke.
No. I was because I think we all assume now it's Mahomes, but coming into the NFL, a lot of people, Dabo, many said it was going to be Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and that decision was made. And I'll complain about that till the cows come home.
Yeah.
But there's nothing more than I would love to have Mitch Trubisky be all of a sudden the comeback story. That when they canceled his fifth year, when they traded for a fourth rounder, Nick Foles gave up a fourth rounder, that this guy, just when you counted him out, went out and threw for 4,500 yards, 38 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and lived up to his billing late. I would love that to happen. I would love to eat crow. I don't care about...
It would be the best thing for this organization.
Yes, there's no favorites here.
If somehow, some way, Mitch, it all clicked and went out and proved to you that it's finally all setting in and he's got it right now.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that could happen to this organization.
I want to get to some of these calls. Mike in Jefferson Park will get you. Have a good question. I wanted to bring up something too that Bleck brought up earlier about football. Our old buddy Viking Scott's on the line. If you want to talk quarterbacks with us, I don't get it. Like, there are no Mitch haters. You know what the haters are? Bad quarterback play.
Yeah.
Bears fans who are just hating bad quarterback play year after year. What's wrong with that? Why does that make you a bad fan? 312-332-3776.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
A lot going on today in our city. Cubs are in a 1-1 tie against the Cards in the first, the doubleheader. These seven-inning games go by very, very quickly. I believe they're entering the sixth already.
Hendricks is just confusing the hell out of the Cardinals.
And the Cubs hitters continue to be confused.
Yeah.
White Sox had one of those doubleheaders, too, on Saturday. It didn't go well. It's a good question, and whether you want to weigh into it today or we can talk more tomorrow, just your view on the seven-inning game. Is there no place for it? Is this the perfect place for it? Would you want more seven-inning games? To think about. But before we do that, I want to take some calls. We were talking some Bears, and they were out there actually practicing. Mike in Jefferson Park had a question about the NFL and the Bears. Mikey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller. Love the show and really been thinking about you.
Thanks, Mike.
I just want to ask, with the NFL season and the draft, hopefully this doesn't happen, but if they were only to finish like 4, 5, 6 weeks of the NFL season, and I feel like Trevor Lawrence is one of the more intriguing prospects to come out in the last couple of years, how do you guys think they would determine the draft order for the NFL if that happens?
That's a great question. I don't know. I really don't. Would they go back to the season, how the teams finished in 2019? I don't have a great explanation for you. If you're saying they only play 3 or 4 games total and the rest of the season is canceled, I'm not sure what they would do. That's a really good question.
Don't you think they would have to include that, like, to a certain point? And boy, what would it take for the NFL season to be canceled after 3 or 4? They've got all the time in the world, after the new year?
I think they're going to plow through it the best they can.
Think about how bad things would have to get if that takes place.
Ball just is ball. You know, you don't ever stop playing ball.
Like, at the NBA guys paused for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Like, don't you think the worst that would happen is they would try, they would fail, and then they would go back to the drawing board like the NBA did and figure out that there's too much money to not play an NBA season?
I think of
spring
all
ball.
The sport,
of
all
move
sports,
it to the spring.
No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. Listen, you've got that's the way. I don't think spring ball's an option for college either.
Well, you don't think spring NFL ball's an option
for the full season?
Well, if they would get shut down, I think anything's an option.
I don't think so, because again, like the college game, How many games are you going to ask these guys to play in a calendar year? They're going to play, okay, let's just say things clear up in a decent manner in 2021 and they can play a full 16 games. Or is it 17 games next year? Which is it? I think it's 17, right? Don't they go to 17 games next year?
Yes. Yeah. It's how like, many games? Or they have one of the years where they could opt into
okay.
the 17.
So let's say September 10th, they kick things off for a 17-game regular season. How many games do you expect these guys to play in the spring? Another full 16 games? That would be 33 games of football played in one calendar year. No effing
well, if you would play, like, say it would get delayed because something happened here in the fall or the winter, you would move the 2021 start date back from September as well, just like the NBA is doing with December. The NBA is playing now in the summer, and they're not starting their 2021 season until December.
Well, that's something that they've spoken about in the past to begin with, right? So that's something yes. that's been on the front of their brain. I have the same beef with the college game as I do with the NFL game on that potential, quote-unquote, front. You cannot, first of all, with the college game, like, just please stop saying for the safety of the kids. And then put together a proposal for those kids to play an 8-10 game season in the spring and then another full 12-13 game full season in the fall. That to me is behind the headline for the safety of the kids. We're going to make them play 20 plus regular season game. No, you're not. Just be honest with me. Don't hide behind for the safety of the kids. Just cancel the season, start it back up next year, and just live with that. The same way with the NFL. You cannot force these guys to play 30-plus games, regular games, in a calendar year. It just doesn't work.
I think what they could do is, let's say they get started and they play, like, three games, and they're like, whoa, we got a ton of cases. We need to shut this down. We'll reassess in a few weeks. And then if they do start back up, they'll just try to play the games that matter, so the division games.
Division games, and maybe do like hubs where, like, Minnesota, you could do the NFC North hub indoors, you know what I mean? Or in Detroit, and you do each division as a separate hub.
Yeah, well, no, not hubs, but, like, you're not traveling as much. Like, the Bears could go up to Green Bay, and they could play the Vikings, and then they could play
Detroit.
The Lions, and then you just determine the division winners.
Half
and then
of your games are against your division
anyway.
Yeah,
and then
anyway,
you just go to the playoffs, and then you just, because you've already played a couple games anyway, so then you just go to the playoffs off of those games, and then you determine the draft order that way.
See, I'm an advocate of pushing things back, because I think you have time on your side. I'm just not one that believes that you could have a spring football season for the NFL. I mean, you're going to have to find a way to kind of start to wrap things up. Like,
what's your drop dead then? March? You got to have your Super Bowl champion crowned by March?
Well, what do they play? I mean, we play playoff games.
Yeah, in January, then the Super Bowl's in the first or second week of February.
I would say, I mean, minimum,
1 month later,
you're going to have to be wrapped up by March.
All right, Viking Scott, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty?
Gentlemen, so dropped one off at college yesterday, got to drop one off another 2 days. Been on the local school board for 16 years, got to make those decisions. For everybody's, my own mental and social well-being, 24 days from tonight, we're kicking off the NFL season. We have to have this.
It doesn't, you know, Scott, I was thinking about this the other day. Doesn't it feel like it's way farther out than 24 days?
Because we don't have a training camp coverage, there's no preseason games. Because, like, we'd have been week two or three of preseason games already. Like, it seems real weird because of all the, you know, secrecy, not secrecy, but just that we're not seeing it. It's really scary that it's 3 weeks upon us.
Well, this is the first day they actually had pads on. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it feels like it's coming up at breakneck speed because it really is.
And for being married as long as I have now, 27 years, football season is a chance for husband and wife sometimes, even though she roots for the Bears, I root for the Vikings, to get a little separation because we're so enthralled. If we don't have NFL season along with the minimal college season, you're kind of with each other way too much. You got to get your little separation during football season.
through thick and thin, through sickness and health. I mean, for the love of everything good and pure, Sky. Come on.
Correct. This is for the benefit of all mankind.
I need ball, too. Don't get me wrong. We all need ball. But
I think you're going to get it. Guys, looking forward to it. All right. Well, I hope so. We got 24 days to go, so nobody screw anything up. Let's make this work.
Let's keep our fingers crossed on that. Thanks, Scotty.
312-332-3776.
Like, you brought this up the earlier in the show, Black. Kyler Murray's a good example. Kyler Murray went from the backup at Oklahoma to being the number one pick. Like,
he only had one NCAA season. Right?
Yeah. So who's that guy going to be in the college year if
that's a good question.
If there's no college season? Well, like, I've asked before about Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow went from being a projected fourth or fifth round pick to being the number one pick.
You could even look at it in the opposite direction. Think about all of the quarterbacks freshman year. Look like they will be stars, the guys who will be the next number one picks.
Then they get a hiccup and teams adjust to them.
Like Matt Barkley went back to school. He was never going to be a number one pick, and he's proven out throughout his NFL career he was never actually that type of guy.
I think it's important. What we all understand is none of this is going to be quote-unquote normal. And it's just we're making this up, not in a bad way, but just from necessity, we're making this up as we go along in a lot of ways.
Oh, so, yeah. You have to.
Yeah. You don't have any other choice.
Yeah. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. I've got a couple of things on my plate. Like, should the we've had a lot of debates about the Astros on this show. Should the Astros have taken a lesson from the Indians? I want to ask you guys this question coming up next, and then we'll find out what's coming up on the baseball show, because not only are Abdallah and Black on our show now from 2 to 6, but then they're live and local from 6 to 8, and they'll continue the tradition of the baseball show starting in 15 minutes from right now.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Cubs playing a doubleheader against the Cards. It's still 1-1. Bottom six. Waddle, did you know this? Do you know what the rule is after 7? If it's still tied?
You put a runner on second and with nobody out.
So you get total tricked out baseball.
Yeah, you get the 7-inning game and you get the
runner on second in the 8th.
Yeah.
I cross-checked that with Jesse because I wasn't sure watching the Sox games over the weekend.
Well, I wouldn't think that they would. I mean, I wouldn't think it would have changed.
Well, the rule is after 9, you put a runner on second.
Right.
So I wanted to know in a doubleheader with 2 7-inning games, would you play the 8th and the 9th normally and wait until the 10th for the runner on second?
But you guys know that also, if not, it's not going to happen today because Kyle Hendricks is not going to have a no-hitter. But if you have a no-hitter at 7 innings, it's not
a no-hitter.
Well, it shouldn't be. And, like, I mean, like, does he get credit for a complete game? For 7,
he gets a complete game.
Because it's a 7-inning game.
It's a game. It's done. The game's done. But you can't get a perfect game and you can't get a no-hitter.
Which is weird. Baseball stats and things like that are weird. But you guys will cover all that in the baseball show here in a couple minutes.
Of course we will.
Yeah.
So here was my question. We've argued a lot about the Astros and, like, what's fair and, you know, how do you get retaliation?
You want them all on an island, right, surrounded by sharks.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Accountability.
Yes.
So what you had with the Cleveland Indians is you had two guys who screwed up in COVID. And I know this is real-life health. But, like, cheating is a high, high, high moral thing. Okay? So I know it's not health-related, but still, it affects everybody in that clubhouse, and you get stamped as a cheater going forward. The Indians were really quick to quash that with Clevinger and with Plesac. They weren't accountable. They put their teammates in the line of fire by violating the rules. It was a rule violation, and they met and they looked at the players and held them accountable. And the team then decided to send them away to their taxi squads.
Yes.
Should the Astros have done that with the cheaters in the building when that thing started? People looking at them in a group setting and saying, you're putting this whole thing in jeopardy here. You are dragging us all down here. You could. And you guys need to be accountable, and we should not turn a blind eye on people
so
that could ruin it for all of us.
They should have sat a lot of their guys at the start of this year.
No, no, no. I'm saying while it was going on. The Cleveland Indians have handled this in real time.
Right.
The Cleveland Indians noticed two players who were putting everything in jeopardy.
Yeah, but there were more than two guys that were in concert to make this all work for the Astros, weren't
there?
Well,
why was that, and why didn't anyone stop it? Why didn't the manager stop it? Why didn't the GM stop it?
Because they were winning a World Series!
But again, like, Plesac and Clevinger make the Indians better.
Yes.
But they said this at this rate, with what we're putting our neck out on the line for in COVID, we can't deal with what you guys are doing. By the same token, it's not health, but cheating is one of the highest standards in all sports. Doing it the right way. Should that have been shut down by the players inside that clubhouse?
Well, obviously they were complicit then because they didn't, right? Even those that weren't involved in the cheating scam by that train of thought, right?
Yes, and that's what bothers me about the whole thing. They could have stopped it many different ways, and they still never got penalized. Here's Zach Plesac pitched a game. He screwed up. He's being penalized way more than any cheating Astro. He is being regulated like a European soccer team to his taxi squad because he made one mistake. And maybe two because he wasn't accountable in the Instagram video. And these guys...
Maybe it's a health issue, because I don't think by cheating anyone in the Astros made anybody else, didn't risk them getting sick and their family sick.
That's true. That's what I keep saying. But it is still a very high up on the power ranking.
What about the guys that are scuffing
standard
baseballs and they're putting pine tar on their neck as pitchers?
Believe me, the trail is long in cheating in baseball.
Now, I've been one of the first to, you know, I mean, I was never shy of saying, listen, I mean, once you start using technology to get an edge, then you've crossed the line. At that point, you have, you know, stealing signs has been something without the use of technology that's been done forever. That's acceptable. That's part of the game. That's, you know, strategy, or it's been accepted. I just don't, I mean, where is the line in terms of, like, I would think manipulating the baseball.
Right. And Severino, when he did it, wasn't it Severino?
It was on his neck. He was with the
Yankees. Did he get suspended?
I think so.
So my big issue is, and I won't let it go, I know, I'm like a dog with a piece of meat in my teeth. My issue is I continue to watch players violate stuff, whether it's cheating, whether it's COVID-related. What are you laughing at now?
I've heard the analogy. I'm like a dog with a bone. I have never heard that. I'm like a dog with a piece of meat in my teeth.
I won't let it go.
Like,
yeah.
Is he upset? Like, does he need a floss?
Yeah. Or
like,
you're trying to take this piece of meat away. Oh, I'm not letting it go.
So like a big piece of meat.
I won't let it go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I continue to watch baseball players get penalized for everything. Everything. Zach Plesac for going out. Mike Clevinger for going out with him. Joe Kelly for throwing a baseball. Laureano for charging the dugout. But yet the cheaters are the only ones who didn't get a damn penalty. And it just bothers the hell out of me.
They know you hate them, and I think that is a penalty for life.
It just seems ass backwards to me.
No, it's fair. I mean, again, you go back to the concept that they were given immunity so that they would come clean. Just doesn't, on this front in the world of sports, it just, I don't connect those dots or there. That's not a straight line of connection.
Anything we didn't hit, Abdallah?
I know one thing I didn't hit. I would like to wish my daughter Angela a happy 25th birthday.
That is 25. Awesome. That's a big milestone.
That is. And she's not even my oldest. That tells you how old I am. But happy 25th to my daughter Angela. I will see her and the entire family. We are going to Chicago Cut to see David Flom and Maddie Moore and have
a
nice
summer. Can you give David a hug for me if you're comfortable?
Yeah.
I miss David.
Yeah,
or at
of
least
course.
like a, you know.
I don't know if he wants me to hug him in the era of COVID, but
that's
I will ask him.
Say Sylvie would love to give you
a
virtual hug.
The other person I'd like to wish happy birthday is Dan Pompey. It's Dan Pompey's birthday, and Dan Pompey is one fantastic writer and a great guy and someone that I've known and been friends with for a long time, as have you. So happy birthday to him as well.
Shout outs to everybody. If all the bigwigs, if everyone would conduct themselves like Dan Pompey does, and he's like the biggest of the football bigwigs, we'd have a good world.
Amen.
You know, because Dan Pompey could walk around like he's the you know what, but he doesn't do that.
Nope.
And he's always been one of the great guys.
He's a fantastic guy.
Yeah. Black Abdal, what's coming up on the baseball show? Anything hot on your mind?
Oh, yeah. Look, we're going to continue to monitor this Cubs game, whether it goes 7 innings, 8 innings, 9 innings, 14 innings. We're going to preview the White Sox tonight, coming off their series with these the COVID Cardinals.
Do you have your favorite all-time top 20 Cubs as well? Do you have that list?
Javi.
He looks a little. He had a double today, but he still looks a little lost.
20 Javis. Wow.
Derek Lee.
Quite
Javi,
the list.
Javi.
Derek Lee.
Javi.
No, anyway, we're going to talk Cubs when this game ends and before the second game of the doubleheader. And then Gio Gonzalez on the mound for the White Sox tonight against the Tigers, which if the Sox are going to be a playoff team, take care of business in this series.
In your division.
Okay, and enough of the back and forth. Let's get some wins here.
Yes, they've been going like every 2 days you think they're really good.
Right.
And then 2 days later you're like, eh, they got work to do. So
what's on the Cool Kids show after the baseball show?
Oh, a special guest at 7:15.
Special guest.
Who might that be?
Special guest.
Is there hints?
No.
I mean, is this, we got to tune in to listen?
Yeah, tune in. It's called it's an hour and 15 minute tease.
Is this like on a scale of 1 to 10?
Dieter, who's the writer in the NBA?
The really
guy.
Tall guy who covers the Warriors.
It's not Dieter Kurtenbach, who used to intern here. No,
okay.
It is not Adam Amin.
No.
It is not, much to my chagrin. We'll have to save Adam Amin for later.
Is it the Catman promoing?
Not the Catman.
Catman!
Oh, no.
All right, Black and Abdallah coming up. They continue to do great stuff. The baseball show is next. Thank you to Eddie Olchek and JD for Abdallah and Black and Waddle.
How about some clean drawers tomorrow for you, okay?
Yeah, that would be, that would be a good day. I know.
Me too.
I'm rooting for that, too. Believe me.
Me too.
For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic!
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Penny waddled away. Waddle, waddle.
And thank you to all a good night.